A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Until he establishes justice on the earth, the coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Responsorial Psalm. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Give to the Lord, you sons of God. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord over vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic.
Give to the Lord bless his people with peace.
The Lord of God thunders, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Please stand.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. And John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I am coming, and is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And after all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from the heavens, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And so every time I do a mission, this is my mission stole, it has the whole life of Christ on here, and we've been to most of these places. But every time, the first night is always focused on the love of God. And we always spend time with the same reading, but from Mark. And this comes from Mark chapter 1, verse 11. If there's any verse you should know for your life, it's Mark chapter 1, verse 11. 1-1-1. Can everybody handle that? 1-1-1. What do you got to remember forever? 1-1-1. Mark is the second book, but anyway. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Where Jesus, and this begins his whole ministry. And you got to remember, everything that happens to Jesus happens to us because Christ, when we get baptized with him, as we'll focus on, we get to be identified with him. And so everything that happens to Jesus happens to us. So we die, we rise, we suffer, we do all the things that Jesus did. But it all must begin here, where Jesus was baptized. And as God the Father looked at him and said, you are my Son, who I love, with whom I am well pleased. It happens always to us. So again, when you and I come to pray, we got to always focus on the reality is, do I hear that in prayer? When was the last time when you went to pray, did you hear, you are my son or my daughter, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you? Most people go through their whole life never experiencing it once. And yet, this is where it all must begin. This is where it began for Jesus, and this is where it must begin for you and me. So one of the things I'd encourage you to do is you have to spend time with that scripture verse every day until you get it. Here, not here. I'll never forget when I first met my spiritual director years and years ago, and the guy was, he's going to be a saint, literally, but he was the exorcist of the Diocese of Erie. Now, do you know why he was my spiritual director? But anyway, so in the midst of all this, first time I met him, I'm going to confession. As I'm going to confession, I would always be the first one to run into the, go to confession because I knew what a sinner I was. I was scrupulous in those days. There's no way out of it. I grew out of that by God's grace. But as in the midst of all this, I was the first one in line. And this Monsignor Peterson, he was only Father Peterson. We always called him Pete. He put his arm around my shoulder and he says, "And what's your name?" I said, "Larry, Father." And he says, "Larry, do you know how much God loves you?" I go, "Oh, yes, Father." And he went, whack! And he hit me really hard off the back of my head. And I'm thinking, and then he said, "Liar." And I go, he was right. But I'm thinking, I'm going to go to confession to this guy now, huh? And he just hit me in the back of the head. Now, do you know where I get this stuff? Anyway, so he sat there and he called me a liar, and it was true. I knew in my head that I was loved by God. I was a seminarian. I could tell everybody, you know, you're loved by God. But I couldn't experience it myself because I wouldn't shut up in my prayer life. I said my prayers. I said my rosaries. I said to my Divine Mercy chaplet. I did my breviary. I did all the talking as 90% of you do all the talking. 98% of you do all the talking. You know, here I am. I said my prayers. Father, can we say a rosary? We're going to say a rosary right now. That's nice. Why don't you shut up for an hour and listen to God?
I want to say my rosary.
You got to say your rosary. Every day I say a rosary. Every day. But that's not the main part of prayer. The main part of prayer is keeping your mouth shut and listening to Almighty God. Does everybody have this? I don't think you believe it. Because shut up. Listen to God. And what will God say to you? You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. And I'm pleased with you. Most of us, when we go to pray, the reason a lot of people don't like to pray is because they don't think God likes them. Right? So when you go to pray, you feel guilty. So you don't want to shut up because you might think that he's going to judge you because he is the judge of the living and the dead. But he doesn't judge you till when? Till you die. So, he doesn't judge you every time you go to pray. Every time you go to pray, I promise you, what God says to you is, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, and I'm pleased with you. But what do most people do? I call it this false humility. They come before God, and they come into his presence, and God says, I am pleased with you, I love you. Oh no, God, you can't be pleased with me, you can't love me. You know, I'm a sinner. You know, I have great sin. Do you know what I did? And he goes, yeah, I was right there when you did it. I live inside of you, remember? And then I did this. You can't love me. And he says, how come you come into my presence and look at you? Why don't you come into my presence and look at me? Who do you look at when you go to pray? Do you look at you and your sinfulness and spend your whole time on how a sinner you are? And you think, well, this is good. I'm a humility. We go back to where, you know, the guy wouldn't lift up his head and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. Yeah, that's where I am. But no. He didn't stay there. He left. And what did Jesus say about him? He walked away redeemed. When you come into God's presence, he redeems you. He loves you. And you... The number one problem, I think, now I have another one, but and number one thing I think in a personal life is people don't believe the love of God in their own hearts. They just don't. That's why they judge everybody else, especially these ultra nuts who sit there and they have to judge everybody else, judge the Pope, judge the Bishop, judge the people next to them, judge all these people, judge people who aren't Catholic. Anytime you're filled with judgment, it's because you don't know the love of God. You think that God spends all his time judging you. So you want to be like him and judge everybody else. But what God spends is, think about it. You ever go back to this? None of us here asked to be created, correct? So God created you. Now, the way some people think is God created you and then he wants you to suffer all the days of your life. And then maybe, just maybe, you're going to go to heaven. Well, I don't want to be with a God like that for more than an hour than pose for forever. The God of the universe, when we sinned against him, he said, I'm going to fix this. And he sent his son to the cross to redeem us. God does not create you to want you to suffer. If that was the way God is, then God is a sadist. You all know what that is? You like to watch other people suffer. And if people, you have to think about your mindset. Do you think that God created you to suffer? Then what kind of God of love is that? God created you to be with him forever. And you'll want to be with him forever. Like, I am a virgin celibate. You ever see a 63-year-old virgin? Take a look. It's what they look like. And some of you are saying, oh, Father, I know why you're a virgin. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I didn't always look like this. Thank you. I've had my chances. Thank you very much. But the reality why I'm still a virgin, because if I didn't want to be a virgin anymore, what could I do? I could go down to the streets or wherever we happen to be, pick up some prostitute, have sex with her, and then what do I have to do to be forgiven? Go to confession, repent, go to confession. Could I still be a priest? Yes. Could I still be a saint? Yes. So if that's all it is that would keep me a virgin, I'd have given up long ago. What happens, the reason when I came to know Jesus at 16 years old and I surrendered my life to him, that was my gift to him. And I wouldn't break that gift. Like when I'd tell my boys, I'd sit there and say, gentlemen, would you sit there and commit adultery against your wife? And they'd always say, never, Father. I'd say, why? Because it's a rule? You shall not commit adultery? Well, no, Father. Then why wouldn't you do it? Because I'd love her and I wouldn't want to hurt her. Ding, 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 ding. When you come to know deeply the love of God in your heart and you respond, those sins you struggle with will go away. They'll become much less frequent. Because as long as you're trying to earn it, then you know you can always go to confession and you'll run to confession every other day or once a week because I'm a sinner. Get over yourself. If you know that you're loved, you'll stop sinning very much. You'll sin much. You won't have mortal sin in your life. But as long as you think you got to earn it, you have that emptiness inside. You know what sin is? It's to disobey God. But it's always to try to fill the emptiness. So if you don't feel loved here, you don't know the love of God here, you will sin, you'll do all these things to try to fill up that hole that was meant for God. You must get to know that you are loved by God. And if we'd have the time, I'd take you through an experience about how to pray, but I'll tell you about it. You can go to, you know, I have an app, and it's just called Our Hope TV. You can download it. All the talks I've ever given are free. All these talks, all these homilies, all these masses are on there free. There's like 1,000 talks on there. So if you need to go to sleep at night, just put on one of my talks. You'll fall right to sleep. See how that goes. Anyway, so if you go there, there's a talk on prayer. And I'll take you through a prayer experience so you can come to know deeply that you're loved by God. And you do that very simply. You begin by breathing 3 times. You can all breathe, right? We forget that the breath, our breath, keeps us alive forever. And so you got to breathe to get into the moment. And so just like we breathe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week without being aware of it, God is with us 24 hours a day, but we're not aware of him. So you got to stop and breathe and become aware of your breath so you can center yourself so you can become aware of God. And then just acknowledge that God is present to you. And then do 3 things. Are you ready? First thing, I'm sorry. Repent of your sins. You know, don't say I'm just sorry, because sorry isn't enough. You have to repent, which means, God, by your grace, I'll never do it again. Period. Not by my power, by your grace. And as you pray, imagine Jesus is right there listening to you. So you're not going to your confession. You always pull out your list. Stop. You're telling him you're sorry for hurting yourself, hurting him, and hurting others. And you're going to stop. And then he'll take his hand and he'll put it over your head. And then 1 drop of the precious blood of Jesus will cover your whole being. And he'll give you mercy and forgiveness. Number one. Number two. Surrender your life to him. Say, Jesus, all that I am, all that I ever did, the good, the bad, everything, my money, my family, everything, I surrender to you. And then look at God take your life when you've held nothing back. Feel him take your life. 3, hold me. Like every time after Mass, after communion, I ask you to be still and let God hold you. In your prayer daily, you feel God put his arms around you, you put your head on his chest, you don't say a word, you listen. And he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Some of you will spend hours there when you really know that God's telling you that he loves you. Oh, where's that in the Bible? John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And then at the end of that, I'm sorry, I surrender, hold me. 3 minutes of silence. 1 minute I'm Father, I'm sorry. 1 minute I surrender. 3 minutes, hold me. And you just let God embrace you. And at the end of that 3 minutes, Jesus says, pray with me the words that I taught you. And then get this, this is the greatest thing ever in your daily prayer, is when you take Jesus Christ by the hands and with Jesus Christ, letting him lead the prayer, you let him lead you slowly. Our Father. And you let that prayer, let Jesus lead it, and let him pray with you the Lord's Prayer. You'll be entered into the presence of the Father. You'll come to know deeply that you're loved. I promise you. But most of you are going to sit there and say, Father, I'm older than you. This is the way I've been praying all my life. Well, that's why God sent you the loudest mouth priest you've ever met on this earth, to give you a change of heart. This will give you a change of heart. This will give you knowledge of the love of God so that you can love other people. But you can't love other people if you have this ache in your heart. Someone with a toothache is only concerned about themselves. A person that doesn't know their love is always preoccupied with themselves. Once you come to know the love of God, you'll be preoccupied with God and others. Again, not one thing on this crucifix was about Jesus. Not one. He only was looking at the Father and looking at us. He never looked at himself. It's easy for me to preach. It's not so easy for me to live. But this is the call for all of us, to be like Jesus. Do you think Jesus knew he was love? Do you think, where did Jesus get his strength? From knowing he was loved by the Father. If you want strength, you got to know you're loved by the Father. Got it? Get it?
Yes.
Gonna live it?
Yes.
May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. Amen.